Welcome to a new episode of Germany's podcast number one.
Yes, we are very excited because this is our first international episode. We have a very special guest today.
Yes.
Herzlich willkommen zu Deutschlands Podcast Nummer 1.
Ja, das finde ich gut, das finde ich lustig. Aber eigentlich sind wir damit auch direkt beim Thema. Das hier ist dein Podcast für Spaß und Größenwahnsinn.
Und nebenbei machen wir auch noch Deep Dives in psychologische Themen und Spiritualität.
Wupp, wupp. Denn am Ende des Tages
gibt es keinen Ersatz für Glitzer.
Haben wir einen Jingle? Herzlich willkommen zur
24. Folge.
Kein Ersatz für Glitzer. Woop woop. I'm super excited to introduce Ocean Eagle today. He's a former alcoholic. He's been healing so many of his own things, so many other people through breathwork. He's not just giving breathwork sessions. He dedicated his life to it and he embodies it. And he's an amazing mentor and I'm super happy to have you on the podcast today.
Welcome.
Yes.
Thank you.
So, I mean, I know a lot about you. I know you've done your share of coaching, of therapy until you actually came to breathwork.
Yeah.
Can you let our followers know what your story was, how you got into breathwork, what your trauma story is?
Yeah. Well, you know, I grew up with double alcoholic parents and a very abusive father. And, you know, they made terrible choices and decisions as parents. And, you know, I witnessed my father do a lot of terrible, horrible physical things to my mother, including when I was 7 years old. They were separated. And he came in one morning to talk to mom. They weren't living together. And he took her in the bedroom and, you know, started brutally beating and raping the hell out of her. And he didn't lock the door. And at 7 years old, I go in the door and what I see is my father, you know, beating and raping my mother and yelling at us and calling myself and my then 8 year old brother, all these horrible names, telling us to get out of the room. And my mom just trying to look around my father to save us, not worried about herself. She said, boys, it's going to be okay. Just go out. And then I watched him, you know, ball up his fist and hit her and break her jaw with the back of his fist. And then he got off and came at us, you know, and pushed us out of the room. So that's one traumatic story, you know, and there was many as life went on. And so I had a childhood of massive trauma, abuse, abandonment, neglect. I went to 11 schools in 12 years. And so when you have that kind of trauma, I didn't realize till I was like over to like 47, 48, 49 years old that I had massive amount of soul loss. And there was parts of me that were missing and stuck and trapped and hiding my inner child, let's call it, out in the spirit world that I didn't know how to play anymore. You know, because that 7 year old and the things that happened when I was 9 and the things that happened when I was 10 and 12 and 13 and on, you can't handle that kind of trauma and abandonment and abuse and neglect. You know, so parts of you have to kind of detach and go hide. And until you do your inner work, your inner child's not going to come back home and play. He's not going to feel safe. She's not going to feel safe. So that's when I turned, you know, the alcoholism and the drugs and alcohol were a big part of my story in my teenage years. Did a lot of drugs and started drinking at probably age 13, 14. And by the time I was 25 years old, I had totaled 4 cars, vehicles. And in the United States, we call it DUIs, driving under the influence, or DWI, drunk drivings. I had 3 of those by the time I was 25. And, you know, just got, you know, lucky I didn't get any more moments like that. And at age 30, I finally got sober. And getting sober was a huge step for me. And so I've been sober over 24 years now. And alcohol has not touched my lips in 24 years. And you know, I went to Alcoholics Anonymous, and when I wanted to get sober, I tried it about 8 days on my own, and I knew I needed help. So I went to Alcoholics Anonymous, and I went to And the last I could best I could count was over 630 AA meetings in my first year. So I went to a lot of Alcoholics Anonymous meetings. I got a sponsor. I worked the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I know the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous and the steps very well. I've sponsored a lot of guys and women in my sobriety. So fast forward through having a wife and having children and, you know, always picking a wounded partner, you know, because I wouldn't do my own work. So it's easier to go pick someone that's wounded and try to save them. So that's what typically my relationships were based on, was finding wounded women that I could try to fix and save and solve their problems when I hadn't fixed and saved and solved my own yet. So even though I was sober, I still had a lot of anger inside me. I had a lot of fear, a lot of anxiety inside me. I hated being alone. So after I got, you know, it was a 14-year marriage and I had two children with her, and she had two children when I met her. So we had four children. And I coached all their sports, 15 seasons of youth athletics. I was a Boy Scout master. You know, I was a good father, and to the best of my ability based on what I was given. And what I realized later was that I was loving from a very empty cup. I was loving them in a way based on what I did not get, did not receive from my parents. So I always overdid for them to try to compensate and make sure that they had everything that I did not have. And probably to a fault most of the time. My kids would have a school assembly in elementary school. And if I missed that school assembly where they were getting an award, I was very hard on myself. I would shame myself because I never had a parent at a school event for me. I didn't have parents at my sporting events. I was a very gifted athlete. Once I got alcohol out of the situation and I went through my 14-year marriage with my wife, and I started doing some really deep inner work. And I did at that point some 15 years of on and off psychotherapy with a psychologist, trying to learn what to do with these emotions and feelings as they would come up, as I would have work issues, money issues, wife issues, children issues, family of origin issues, and the anxiety would hit me. And so I would go see my therapist, and I'd sit in there and we would talk about it, and but we never healed anything. We never did the deep healing work. You know, all we did was try to, you know, take care of the emotion or feeling at the time and then package it back up, put it on the shelf. And then when life happens again, you're back on the therapist couch again, you know, to try to solve that problem, when the underlying problems are the surface problems are all caused by the underlying issues of your childhood and the stuff that you haven't resolved yet.
I think that's such an important point. Mm-hmm. That when you go to psychotherapy, a lot of therapeutical, what's the English word? Like theories actually are so that you understand what happened, but you don't heal what happened.
Well, and that's why, you know, in a process that I use in my retreats that I run, people don't even know I'm doing this to them. I just do it. And it's like, we reveal it, we refeel it, and then we heal it. We have to go through that process, and you have to identify it, and then you have to pull it back up, and you have to have a conversation with whatever that wound was. And you don't have to forgive it. Like, there's things that my dad did I'll never forgive him for. And he's been dead 15 years now, and I don't owe him forgiveness for what he did, but I had to take my power back out of the story, because most people have an energy assignment to their old story. And until you pull that energy back in, it's out there and you're subject to that wound. And if you don't heal your past, it will continue to kick your ass. So you have to do the deep inner work.
First of all, because I think we can go into this healing and what you do on your retreats deeper later. But first of all, I want to say thank you for your honesty here. Also, like, my big respect for your path you had being an addict and doing, like, getting out of that, I would say, shithole, because it's like really deep. Yeah, I mean, and then you didn't rest on it, but you did like further work and you go like further and further. So my deep respect for that. And what I wanted also to point out, you said it so beautifully, you have to bring it up, you have to refill it mm-hmm. and then heal it. Yeah. Like this is basically the whole process you need to do. Yeah. And what you also said in therapy, like you know what happened, you might talk about it. I mean, right. I with my therapist actually do like deep healing work with EMDR. Mm. So you can do like these steps as well. But most of the people who go to therapy, they do the talking and they don't do the real healing and not the real healing on like a body level and on an emotional level.
The interesting thing about the EMDR and the rapid and the REM, the rapid eye movement,
yeah.
I did all of that. And you know, and again, the focus on that is to take care of the feelings and emotions at the moment that you're not able to sit with and hold and be present with. And so we're trying to go in there and what I do with breath work, the way I do it, you actually heal all that stuff. You actually can go do one of my retreats and then afterwards, I give people these breath work protocols that they can use in the mornings, middle of the day, or they can just slow things down. It's all about slowing it down and you being the self-regulator and you start becoming the master of you. But most people have a hard time sitting with their emotions and feelings and they don't know how to process them. They want to react instead of just going in nature and sitting by a tree for a little bit and being still and being quiet and just letting it come through, you know. But I didn't learn all this stuff until I was probably about 46. And I had a girlfriend that brought this woman named Nicole Johnson to me, and she was a life coach. I didn't know until 3.5 years later she was actually a shaman. She didn't tell me. And she was doing some ooga booga work on me, and I didn't know it, you know, but I love her to death. And then after that, a different girlfriend brought a woman named Kadia to me. And Kadia was actually doing cellular energy clearing in my brain and on my heart, where she would make these sounds with her mouth right next to my skull. And when the sound would vibrate back out of resonance, she would yell loud, pow, 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 into my brain. And then she would do the same thing into my heart. And then we would just sit there and I would just breathe with her. And that's the first time in my life working with Kadia that I was able to slow things down. Super ADHD, had read maybe 2 books by the age 40, you know. And at age 41, I actually had a nervous breakdown. So my nervous system completely shut down at age 41. Thought it was a heart attack, went to the hospital, you know, got on some benzodiazepine, one of them called Klonopin. So I had that on hand in case, because these rushes were starting to hit me. The numbness would happen in my arms and I would lock up. So I needed some outside help. Had I known back then what I know now, I could have taken care of it with breathing. I wouldn't have needed the benzo. I would have just taken care of it with breathing. And that's what I coach people on doing right now. So, you know, my awakening happened in a breathwork journey and I had a massive spiritual awakening in May of 2019. And I went to an event called the Gathering of the Shamans in Sedona, Arizona. And some people may know the Four Agreements, the book, The Four Agreements, and Don Miguel Ruiz and the whole Toltec traditions, Native American traditions. But I went to that event and there was a woman there doing shamanic breath work. And I had never heard of it. I had never heard anything about it. And I was facilitating. I was like a facilitator at the event. And I was going to help roll the 85 mats out for the people that were trying to breathe. And, you know, and I was like, I'm going to watch this shit show and see what's happening. I'm just going to sit back behind the podium here, eat some popcorn. And then they said they had a spot for me. And they put me on the front wall. And I said, shiza. And the shiza. And so I said, okay, I'll do this breathwork thing. And I only know shiza because of the born identity. So anyway. So I go and I do this breathwork journey and Linda Starwolf starts coming over and moving energy on me and during my breathing and I'm killing the breathwork. And when she put her hands on my sacral area and started moving energy on me, I mean, I took off. I left my body and went out in the flying in the cosmos. I mean, I'm a real estate broker at that time, raising my kids, you know, doing the 3D TikTok life, you know. So for me, I was stunned. I couldn't believe I was literally flying around the cosmos, planets, stars. And then I had these two luminous beings show up next to me. And I felt their presence. And I looked and they pointed to the constellation of Orion. And they said, "You're from there." They said, "You're from there. You're an ancient wisdom master. And you're here to help this planet evolve at this time of great transformation and great transmutation. We gave you a gift inside you that we're going to activate now. And then we're going to show you what to do with it." I was like, "What?" For me? I'm like, so that was almost 5 years ago. And
it's so crazy. You almost didn't do it.
I got, had to get talked into doing that breathwork journey. And then she moved her hands up on my heart chakra and started moving energy on my heart. The earth was a blue ball and it just went, and I just turned into an eagle and I started flying all over earth. And I just had this moment of oneness. And you're the plants, you're the birds, you're the rocks, you're the streams, you're white, black, Asian, Hispanic, German, you're feminine, masculine, male, female, you're a rock, you're a house, you're a car, you're everything and everything is you. And I knew, and I got it and I felt it and it resonated with me on a cellular level throughout my whole body. I knew I had just been cellularly rearranged. And I knew I had just been called to something. I didn't know what yet, but I knew that my life had just forever changed. She blew her breath into her hands and cupped it onto my heart. And my heart turned into this massive gold heart and just went, and gold dust just blew out over all of humanity. And I had this moment of just incredible love for everybody on the planet. And I committed to that moment to answer whatever the call was. And then I had a voice start talking to me in my chest, not here anymore. It was all really loud here, telling me what to do, giving me guidance. And that weekend, I also got my spirit name, Ocean Eagle, given to me. I got brought up on stage in front of 225 people, and they all chanted, "Welcome, Ocean Eagle, welcome, Ocean Eagle, welcome, Ocean Eagle." And then I turned to them and presented myself as Ocean Eagle. So that's who I've been ever since, you know, as I started writing books, which I'm not a writer, and I'm getting ready to publish my seventh book. I think I'm maybe a 5 or 6 time number one best-selling author at this time. I don't know.
And they are good books. I read some of them now, I can really say I absolutely love them. There's so much wisdom in them, you break it down so well. Yeah. So we're gonna put them all in the show links. It's a really big recommendation to read. Mm. Your books.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah.
You said like so many interesting things. Mm-hmm. I guess what I wanted to ask, because you said you like left your body and before mm-hmm. you had like a lot of issues.
Yeah.
What like did also change on a physical level? Because what I often hear from people like you is, or even like breathwork, that you do all that stuff to get like out of your own way, to let your body, to let this like intelligence of your body heal itself, because our body has mm-hmm. that ability. And we are just all the time doing things and we are like in our own way, but we basically need to provide this the circumstances so that our body can heal itself. What happened for you after, like physically after that? Yeah, that awakening
physically, all of my, you know, I'd kept that medication around just in case I ever had moments or anything. That night, I threw it in the toilet. I knew I would never need it again. And so my anxiety and my fears like were washed away because I went in front of the mirror that night and I just sobbed like a baby. I cried so hard and looking in my own eyes, I cried. And I knew that I had so much love and compassion for myself at that moment, for everything that I'd went through and everything that I endured as a child. And I just had this massive moment of gratitude. And I knew it. I was 50 years old. I'm 55 now. And I knew at that moment that I would do everything again if I had to have that one moment where I looked at myself and I loved myself. And all the shame washed away from my childhood and my adult life, all the stuff that I had done. Because I was damn sure not a perfect human being. But it also taught me that, you know, it's not my job to go save people. because I might be stopping them from going through something that will get them to their knees and they get to their moment of oneness. But as of, on a physical level, as I went home, you know, that was on a Saturday. I went home on Monday and I asked my then wife for a divorce immediately because I knew I was in a marriage I didn't belong in. She was an alcoholic and I was sober. I didn't see it until the night we got married and I realized I had just married an alcoholic. So it was about a 1-year and 8-month marriage. And I dissolved that immediately and started dismantling this illusion on the outside that I had built to just keep me safe and to do what the outside world said I should be doing, you know, to have the big house and have the nice cars. And I had a big real estate company and I provided very well for my family, but none of it meant anything to me anymore. You know, so for me, physically, I felt like I was energized and I had this new energy source within me because it's an energetic feeling, right? And if you break energetic around down, it's energetic. So in Ooh. Your genetics, energetic energy is where the secrets are stored. And in the nothingness of the unknown stillness within is the space where your creator will whisper your secrets to you. You know, your secrets that are designed for you. I call it the universal frequency matrix. And it's, we're here and it's up here. So we can't get there until we unhitch the shackles and the chains around our ankles. And those are all centered and based in our past. So we have to one by one, pull them up, have a ceremony, cut the cord of energy we've assigned to it. Because as babies, we're like this, we're powerful, all of our power is within us. And then boom, it gets scattered out in our story. So we have to go one by one. We have to do the work, the inner work, to bring those back to where we're all powerful again. So, yeah.
Yeah, I just love those stories because when I was like very sick, I watched like these stories you just told, you know, like I did the inner work. I had like a brutal past and I was an alcoholic and I did all that stuff. And then like this one moment, everything changed. And what I love about also about those stories is like you knew right away that you can, that you don't need to take your medication anymore. It's like this inner knowing you suddenly have that you know what to do and this inner clarity. Yeah, I love that. Like I had a lot of, I would say transcendental moment, but I never had a moment like that where it was a very, for me, it was like more gradual. I had to do like a lot of inner work. I didn't have that one moment. And I find it also so fascinating. And what would you say, because it was like this one moment, but what did you do also before to get there?
Well, that's the key. Yeah.
Yeah.
People think they're going to come do breath work with me and have a spiritual awakening like I had. And, you know, what they don't realize is that I did 3.5 to 4 years of work with Nicole Johnson and Kadia. Deep inner work. I did a lot of writing, read books on soul retrieval, you know, that were suggested to me. I wrote dead letters. Dead letters are letters you write to people that have harmed you in your life, that you're having trouble letting go of the anger and the hate and the rage. So you write a dead letter that writes everything down that you would want to say to them that you never will.
I call it rage on the page.
Yeah. But I've had important moments in that. Yeah. Healing moments writing those that were like aha moments that were like showed me something that happened during the marriage or during my 14-year marriage that dissolved. And so I had these moments where I started realizing, you know, I was creating everything. It wasn't anything anybody else is doing in my life. I am responsible now. So own your shit, ownership, right? Own your shit and get on with it. And so I don't allow people to be victims with me. I was like, okay, that happened, but let's find out your part in all of this. And let's let that shit go. And let's find out how you're going to put yourself in a position in life where that's not going to happen again, you know, because, and then find a way to relieve the anxiety and the fear and the stress and the pain that's attached to it. And that's where these breathwork journeys, you know, come in. Because we do, at my retreats in a 4.5-day period, basically, we'll do 7 to 10 breathwork journeys. And they're powerful. You know, I'm getting ready to train this woman. She's coming to the pyramids of Teotihuacan. And I'm going to train her with 6. I may have 1 more, 7, maybe 7 others that I'm going to train them for 11 days. And she'll be ready to go and bring this back to Europe, bring us back to Germany, and I guess Austria. You've got an event set up. So,
yes.
Yeah. But, you know, for me, when people are ready to try to step into this kind of work, it's all about surrender. It's all about how deeply can you surrender to this work? Because if you only put half an effort into it, you're not going to get out of it what you need to get out of it, you know. If all you're trying to do is just, you know, numb out your fears and your anxieties and the stresses in life, then you can do that. But the deeper inner work is where the magic is. That's when the moment that's so for me, those 3.5-4 years that I did with Nicole and Kadia, I was ready. You know, the last piece that I did was around my father, like 3 weeks before my awakening. I did my own cord cutting ceremony. Nobody told me about it. I just created it myself. And I went into my meditation space in my house and I pulled him up from the dark and I called him a bunch of names. And I said, I don't understand why you did the things you did. I never will. I don't forgive you, but I'm going to let you go now because you're still affecting me and that's my fault. As an adult, I am responsible for my energy. And then I crumpled him up and I blew him away and I told him to fuck off. And then I cut that cord of energy and I pulled it back in. 3 weeks later at the Gathering of the Shamans, I have a massive spiritual awakening. So I think that's one of the biggest anchor I had was my father wound, you know. My mom and I are great now. My mom's been sober 24 years as well. And she's my best friend. Yeah, she's my best friend. Yeah, we talk every day. So we've healed a lot that happened, choices that she made with another stepdad and things that happened around their drinking and their alcoholism. So, yeah.
I think one very important point you made, and that's also something I really appreciate, you don't make room for victims. Like you don't make room for someone saying like, oh, look, what all happened to me? Why does that all happen to me? Mm-hmm. Like you make space for people to actually take full responsibility of their potential as well, yeah. Right through that. And yeah. that's something we talk a lot about as long as we see ourselves as victims throughout life. I mean, there were points in our lives when we were kids where we were victims and to acknowledge that. But as adults, we are responsible on how we create our life, and our inner world is the mirror of our outer world.
Yeah.
And to take ownership for that, as you said. So yeah, super important point. And that you went on this path before you actually had your awakening.
Well, you know, the victim stance is just allowing your past to continue to, like I said, kick your ass. You know, it's like, you know, when we can take our energy back out of the old story and understand that, yeah, I'm not responsible for what happened when I was a child. I'm not responsible for some other things maybe that happened. But as an adult, I'm now responsible for the energy I give it. And whatever it was, rape, molestation, you know, abuse, abandonment, you know, they're still, those wounds are still winning. That moment is still winning. If we have, because I used to tell my old story before I did my work. I used to tell my story because I wanted people to feel sorry for me. And that's the only way I felt like I was worthy of being loved. So I didn't feel like I was enough just walking in a room and being Marty Daniel back then, you know, and just being me. I had to put on the false front, you know, this is who I'm going to let you see. But if I take this down, that's not pretty. You're not going to like the real me. So I got to give it, you know, I had secrets and I coach people. It's like, you're only as sick as your secrets. So who are you when no one's watching? You know, when I do my men's retreats, we go right into pornography. We go into porn right off the bat. I said, so let me ask you, who of you are sitting there when no one's watching and you've got your phone out or your laptop out and you're watching porn and you're, you know, masturbating? And they're like, you know, I finally get someone to open up about how addicted they are to porn. And, you know, porn creates shame. You know, it's like, so the man I am today is the man that can open my phone, open my laptop, open any device I have in front of my daughter 24/7. And she's and be okay with anything that I do. You know, that is freedom. That my mother, my grandmother could see anything I'm doing anytime. And I didn't used to be that. I used to have secrets. I used to sneak off and watch my little porn, you know, and have my little secret, you know. So integrity is built when no one's watching. So who are you when no one's watching, you know? And can you, I'll respect you more that if you're in your house doing what you do and you don't hide it and you go out and just be that in the public, at least you're authentic, you know, the world may not like what it is, but at least there's not two sides of you. you know. So for me, it's like authenticity is the new sexy, you know.
Yeah, and it's also so nice that you are creating those safe places where mm-hmm. people can start opening up, where there's like no judgment right. around it. Because, yeah, so that is, I think we also talked about it like in other episodes. But do you, maybe you or you too, want to get in more into breathwork? The reason why we're here today?
Yes, I do have some questions. Because you founded your own method, mm-hmm, you founded your own method, activation breathwork. What is special about activation breathwork? What do you do with that work?
Well, you know, I got trained in holotropic breathwork for about 2 weeks, and then I realized that there was a deeper place to go, because a lot of that was around the shamanic spiritual side of to doing it, you know, which is a lot of what I do, but when I started understanding that I needed to create my own playlist, because the sound, the frequency, the vibration is very important.
Well, can you maybe tell our listeners how important frequency actually is?
Well, everything's, you know, we're built of trillions of cells, and I'm writing a book right now called The Cosmic Soul, and talk about black body mass and black body radiation and caught in this system called the rectifier circuit. And these are battery circuits. And when those batteries expand and blow and build with this black radiation, it blows out of our cells. So until we do the inner work, our movement is all over the place. I try to get the movement to be like an infinity symbol, right? To be balanced and in everything that we're doing. And until we do the inner work and use vibration and frequency and sound, because there's a huge, I would say, a lot of governments are getting ready to expose and open up sound technology and vibration and frequency technology and what it can do. Because every cell, a cancer cell, a normal cell, has a resonant frequency, its own resonant frequency. When we can identify that frequency, we can actually, you know, we can heal it. We can... One of the things you asked earlier is like, what breathwork does is creates a moment of homeostasis, which is a moment of inner balance inside. When we're balanced and we're in a moment of homeostasis, our body has an opportunity to heal. And I'll go into the science of it in a minute. But the frequency part, the sound and the playlist that I create, they're all chakra tuned. So I have a playlist for the root chakra, the sacral chakra, the solar plex, the heart, the throat, the third eye, and the crown. And I go and create a playlist that starts in the root and works its way through the hour and a half playlist up through and out the crown. And during that time, it's not just sound, it's not just frequency, it's not just the playlist, it's not just the breathing that we're doing, it's the touch. And that's, you know, the when to touch, why to touch, where to touch, how to touch, the when to come in, how to come in, why to come in, how to leave, when to leave. And when you're moving energy on people, it's so important to learn. It takes a while to get the feel, because a woman, you're going to press softer, and a man, you're going to hit him, you're going to press harder. And I start in the feet, and then I go to the sacral, and I go to solar plex. So it's moving that energy up the chakra line. That's why I call it activation breathwork, because we're activating those seven chakras, which is actually the Kundalini effect. So your spine is like this. So, you know, each ancient Egyptians have a cobra head coming out of their headdresses, and that's the top of the spine, because they realize the spine is smaller at the bottom and then rises to bigger at the top. And it's so when we're moving that energy, and that's a visual I do with my eyes closed when I breathe, is I actually imagine, they call it a somatic release, when your serpent is coiled at your root chakra, you want to release that. Otherwise, like most men, they're driven from their root chakra. They're driven from their penis, you know, and then they're hardwired that way from this patriarchal system we have in place. So we want to do is we want to have TI teach men and women how to pull that energy up and become the master of your own energy, right? And that's, but once the breath work starts, I don't want people thinking. I just want them to attack the breath and let it activate them on a cellular level, because the breath knows the way home. The breath knows where you need to go to heal, and it'll activate the traumas and the abuses and the abandonments and neglect that it wants you to work on for that session. And all kinds of stuff comes up. People, you know, get very, very, you know, and I don't suppress people's energy. A lot of breathwork facilitators will have people stay down on the ground, don't get up. I'm the opposite. I'm like, get up, you know, run around the room if you have to, because my people are blindfolded. So I got to hold the space in the container to make sure they don't step on people. And they're up losing their minds. I give permission to take their clothes off if stuff like that comes up. I've had people removing their clothes. And just the suppression of your actual true expression will lead to your depression. So when you're not expressing that gift that the Creator gave you, then you're actually depressed. And that's what school systems are designed to do for our children. They don't want them to know how powerful they are. They don't want them to exercise that true gift that the God or the Creator gave them, because they need to control them. They need to put them in the system, and they need to put them to work for the corporations. That's their goal as they go. For me, we have to think outside of the box, which they put all of our kids in school, when everything's circular, round, frequency and vibration are all waves. Nothing, there's no right angles in my body. So everything I do is fluid and flowing and circular. Yeah.
Yeah. And to the frequency part, I mean, I had a session with you, and it's so hard to describe, but it's almost like your body loses the density and you sort of dissolve. And
Well,
you can feel how the music sort of enters your cells and just moves through your body. It's so hard to put in words if you haven't experienced it yet.
It's a powerful thing. And then we'll go into the I wrote an article in Top Doctor magazine called Breathwork is Medicine, and I go into the science behind it and what's really going on chemically in the body. So what we're doing when we breathe this way is through the nose, out of the mouth, and all this other mouth breathing, you know, and stuff that they're doing. And I don't know anything about that. It's not my experience. My experience, you're blocking there. My experience, shadow. This is my shadow. This is my shadow here. So,
Birdie is blocking the light for everyone who's listening.
So, stop blocking the light, Birdie.
Yeah. Anyway.
But so the science behind it, like I said, when we breathe that way, we balance our CO2, our carbon dioxide, and our oxygen levels properly. It's the proper amount going in and the proper amount going out. So we create the moment of homeostasis. But the other thing that's, and we'll go into the physical healings that I'm watching take place with people that are working with me, both in a group and privately, around PTSD and trauma with war veterans, also with cancer patients. And they're actually killing off their own cancer cells with breath work. So, but as we go forward in breathing, we start building DMT. The DMT is the active ingredient that's in ayahuasca. We build it naturally ourselves, the natural version of it. And that goes up, you know, released from the pituitary gland, the pineal gland, and of course the pituitary gland, once we can access that, is our third eye. That's connected to the third eye. That's why people have psychedelic journeys and they take journeys into other realms. That's why I did. But it's all about surrender. If you're not breathing long enough and hard enough, you're not going to get there. So a lot of people, their mental mind takes over during the breathwork journey, and it blocks them and stops them from going as deep as they need to go. You know,
yeah, it's tiring to breathe so long, right?
That's
people
why
sometimes think we do a little bit of breathing, but it's nothing like the breathing you have in a yoga class or something where you do just 10 minutes of a little bit more intense breathing. No. It's super intense, and it's called breath work. So
breath
you
work.
Have to actually do the work. And I remember, like, you get to the point where you're like, oh my God, this is tiring. And then Ocean stands like, keep breathing.
As a song's transition in the playlist, I'm constantly reminding them, how much do you love yourself? Because self-love is so important. So it's all about surrender means self-love. So how much can you surrender? Can you surrender again? Because that is where the gift is. It's within the surrender that the gift is exposed to you. So as songs transition, I said, I tell them, I say, how much do you love yourself? Can you go after it again? Because the breath is the accelerator pedal. So as you fall into a rhythm and you maybe start journeying somewhere, you can always go away from where you are by just picking it back up again. But the things we're building besides the DMT that activates that third eye journey is we build serotonin and dopamine. And serotonin and dopamine are both neurotransmitters. So they are, they reconnect the brain and the nervous system. Most people have disconnected brains and nervous systems. So that chemical, when we build that, actually has the ability to reconnect those systems and bring your lymphatic system back online and your immune system. The delivery device for all of that, all the chemicals we build, is nitric oxide. So when we breathe, that's when people breathe with me and they feel the numbness and the tingling all over their body and their face and their arms, you're building nitric oxide. And that chemical expands to vasodilator that expands your blood vessels. So that is why, once I did my research and I published the article in Top Doctor magazine, that breathwork is medicine, that I started marking all the people that were throwing away their high blood pressure medicine. Their men's erectile dysfunction was getting cured. It's all about blood flow and oxygen. So and cancer can't live in a highly oxygenated environment. So the more we can get the blood flowing, expand the blood vessels. I had my barber that cuts my hair. She had 20 plus years of foot pain, plantar fasciitis from standing on her feet, went away in one session. And she came back, did a second session with me, and it's never come back. Then I started realizing what was going on with people telling me about their cancer and coming to my breathwork journeys and retreats with collapsed lung. And it was caused by a pulmonary aneurysm that was created by the chemotherapy that she was on for her leukemia. So she goes, why am I coming to this breathwork thing with a collapsed lung? I said, you're going to heal yourself. That's why you're coming. And she came and she did 7 breathwork journeys in 5 days with this group. And I got a message from her 4 weeks later, Ocean, you're not going to believe this. I said, yes, I will. Tell me. And I'll believe you. She goes, well, the doctors at the Mayo Clinic and my cardiovascular surgeon did a scan on me and they can't believe it. They've never seen a pulmonary aneurysm disappear. Mine's gone. And they've never seen that
and
happen.
And for all people, like the Mayo Clinic is like one of the clinics in the US, right? It's very famous and they're like very good doctors. So, yeah
they were shocked. And we've continued to shock doctors as I work with more people. Another woman that had stage 4 lung cancer came to a retreat with a partial collapsed lung. Her lung is reinflated now. She is 99% off of her oxygen tank. She did 7 breathwork journeys without an oxygen tank, and she pulled that oxygen tank into that retreat. And I was like, uh-oh. I was like, shit, she's got an oxygen tank. But I had her sign a waiver, and she was 67 years old, and she is a very good friend of mine now. And we're marking everything that's happening with her journey. It's been powerful. And then another couple hired me from here in Peru, flew me up to Sedona and worked with me privately for 4 days. And he had thyroid cancer, and it had gotten into his lymph nodes. And his wife, who's a homeopathic holistic doctor, she found him dead 9 months ago, and she pounded on his chest and brought him back to life. And he had been diagnosed about 2.5 years prior to that with the thyroid cancer. And so they were actually in the Arizona area doing in vita work for his, trying to heal his cancer. And I was on a national television show in the United States, and the wife's father saw the episode, and they called me, flew me from here in Peru to Sedona, Arizona, and they worked with me privately for 4 days. And I'm telling you, I love working with the desperate because they'll surrender. They'll go deep, and they'll do anything you ask them to do and exactly the way you tell them to do it.
They have nothing to lose.
They have nothing to lose. That's the ones I want. Yeah. Working with the masses is fine. I want the desperate. And that's why one of my books that's out now is called The Gifts of Desperation, A Journey Back to Me. Because within the desperation is when you're willing to do whatever it takes. Yeah.
But I want to point out with that, you haven't finished your story yet, but I think a very important thing about it is they took blood tests before you came to count, like to see how many cancer cells there
Yeah, he had blood work before, and the count was like 15,000. And then they had blood work done the day after they worked with me, and it dropped to 12,500. So 12,000. So it dropped 3,000 points. They had another breath work done a couple of weeks later. It dropped another 3,000 points. And the other marker that would normally go up stayed stagnant. It didn't move. So they created homeostasis, a moment of balance inside. And then I have RJ on a morning breathwork protocol every day. So that was in late November. January 26th, he had a full scan done. And they called me. I was at my, I had a women's retreat going on, and they wanted to talk to me. And it was just, I was crying. We were all three crying because the scan, the report that came back, and he had a tracheotomy. So when she found him dead, they had to install a trach on him because there was a lymph node pressing on his trach that was preventing him from breathing. So he had never shown his trach to anybody before. And he let me film and video that. It's up on my social media, and I'll be probably posting some of that stuff on YouTube channel real soon. But yeah, it was amazing to get this phone call and read off what the report said. So what had happened was the right thyroid that 4 months earlier was completely full of cancer, had no cancer.
No, I didn't even know.
Yeah, the right.
That's amazing. That's huge.
Yeah, the right thyroid, the cancer is gone. And then the lymph node that was pressing on his trach had gotten significantly smaller. So they were going to be sending that report over to the surgeon to see if they're potentially going to take his trach out. They told him the trach was for life, that he would never be able to live without it. And now they may take his trach out. But the other thing that happened was in the report, it said the word necrosis, 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 necrosis 6 times. Necrosis means cell death. So all the cancer that was in the lymph nodes was they were killing it, dying off. And it's all about super oxygenating the body. So there's this beautiful stories that I'm witnessing and watching. As well as the trauma work with veterans and veterans of war as well. Yeah,
I think this example or this situation just shows how important this work is, how important the work you do is. And it's simply incredible. I have one question, though. Would you say it's a combination of the breathing, how it changes your blood cells, and the actually inner work you do with it?
Of course.
That you heal?
So most of our, you know, cancer is not contagious. So we didn't catch it from somebody. So cancer is caused on the inside. It's a dis-ease going on the inside. This person's cancer was caused by his father. Massive father trauma wound and mother, but mostly father. And this gentleman was 44 years old, and his father, he was still allowing this piece of shit. I'm sorry, but I called his father that in front of him, was still allowing this man in his life. And this man was also creating trauma in RJ's wife, and RJ wasn't standing up for her. So we had to come to Jesus talk about, this woman pounded on your fucking chest to bring you back to life. You better stand up for this woman, and you better never let that man do anything to disrespect her or harm her ever again. So what happened was in December, Christmas was coming, and we had a plan in place, and RJ set new boundaries with his father and didn't have Christmas with them and set new boundaries around. And I think that's a big part of why everything's coming together now, because I believe his thyroid throat problem, right? That's where our voice is, our throat chakra. He didn't feel like he had a voice. So one of the most powerful moments of that retreat was I get people to scream, you know, and get them to open that throat chakra. And RJ, because he had a tracheotomy, he couldn't scream. And his wife had just done a 1 minute long, scream, crazy. And they were back to back doing, just moving back to back with each other during this breathwork journey. And he wanted to scream. I'm in his face. I'm like, come on, ha, ha. And I wanted him to scream harder. And he got frustrated that he couldn't scream longer. And he takes his finger and he plugs his tracheotomy hole and screams longer and harder so he could get more breath in there. And after he was done, he just broke down in tears and sobbed. And it was one of the most powerful things I've ever facilitated or ever been a part of. So, yeah.
I got goosebumps.
Yeah, yeah. That's one of those goosebump moments, man.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. It's, yeah. I mean, I've seen the footage of this retreat.
Right.
And it was so touching to see that. And I mean, I've seen the whole process a little bit from you telling me. And it's just been so incredible to actually watch. You know, normally you see sometimes, as Sarah said in the beginning, sometimes you see on YouTube some videos of people telling these stories.
Yeah.
But actually to see you bringing the energy of that with you, like the excitement, the wisdom of it, and putting it out in the world, it's just...
Well, you know, one of the most beautiful gifts out of that whole retreat for RJ and Charis was that their marriage got healed. After that 4 days with me, they did 9 breath works in 72 hours. And they're on, I got a testimony from them stating that no matter what happens now, we don't have any fear. They weren't afraid of the cancer now. And what got healed was their marriage. Because RJ is a 44-year-old, tall, athletic guy, had a lot of, you know, guilt around having the cancer and that being a burden on other people in his life. And then she has the PTSD of finding him dead and pounding on his chest. And then the caretaker guilt, right? I want my life back. You know, why do I have to give up my life for this? It's not fair, right? So that all that dichotomy that went on that was actually pulling them away from each other got healed in a moment, in an instant. It was beautiful to watch, you know, and they were just so bonded when they left, and they're just both like, no matter what, we got this, you know. It's like, so it's beautiful. Yeah. So they thought they were coming to heal the cancer, which is happening. But what really got healed was their marriage first. Yeah.
And what I love about it is it's nothing like outside of us. That's like it. Breath. It's available to all of us. It's like nothing. You don't need to take a pill or anything. It's you do things, of course, it's like very important with the music and with the breath and probably a lot of energetic stuff you do as well. I do talk about.
I do. Yeah. We'll talk about that in a minute.
And like pushing different places like on our body.
Of course.
But basically it's available to all of us, and we can learn that, and we can use that inner intelligence and all the stuff you said about the, like, what is chemically going on in our body when you do that breath. That's, I mean, the best pharmacy is in our bodies.
Absolutely.
We just need to learn how to use it.
Absolutely.
And that's what you do. So that's like so cool and so fascinating. And I mean, we have Birdie, the Europe activation breathwork soon to be. I mean, it's just a couple of days away, facilitators.
It
so
is.
Yeah.
I'm honestly so excited. I think I've never been so excited for a long time, except when I was a kid and Christmas and my birthday was coming up. But I haven't been so excited to go to this training. It's I can't put it in words.
I'm excited to bring this over to Europe too, you know, and come co-create an event with Birdie in Germany or in Austria or wherever we're called to do, if we can set up a 4 or 5 day retreat and bring people in. I think it would be amazing. I'm willing to travel. So yeah. I think it'd be, you know, I want to spread. It's not about money for me. I've had all that money. I don't care about that. It's about getting more people to get off drugs and medications and, you know, people that are attached and hooked to their plant medicines, you know, the psychedelic ones. You know, I want them off all that stuff. You know, I want people to come back to wholeness, come back to, you know, come back to a place of centered within themselves, where they understand that they don't need somebody else to tell them they're amazing. They go look in the mirror and tell themselves, I don't need anybody to validate me. I'm just valid. Just for being born, I'm valid, and I matter, right? I matter. And to look at yourself and give yourself that, so we no longer look on the outside for any of that healing or any of that validation. We're just enough the way we are. And then trying to help people really find out, okay, what's your gift? Because you can't have mine. Mine's mine. You can go do everything I've done and you won't have the same result, because you're special. You're different. There's this universal frequency matrix, and there's a frequency designed just for you, just like there is for every cell, right? There's a frequency. And once you step into that frequency, that's when all the memories start getting activated and you start knowing, you know how to do things intuitively. you don't have to like think about it. You don't have to go study it. You just have it. You know, you just know it. You know, it's a vibrational frequency within your own body. Yeah.
And what would you say? I think a lot of people who are listening, they will come to your events or book a session. But what would be like recommendations for people? What can they do at home, like right now or tomorrow morning or today evening? What would you recommend?
Well, I would have them sign up on my email list. And I'm trying once a month to send out like a 5 to 10 minute video to anybody that's on my email list. And give them just a, you know, me breathing and showing them and guiding them through a free breath work just for signing up on the email. You know, and then go to oceaneagle.org for that.
We're going to put that all in the show notes.
Yeah, just oceaneagle.org. And just enter your email in. I don't spam people. I don't, you know, blast people. I'll keep people up to speed on when I have an event, whether it's in the United States or whether I'm doing one down here in Peru or in Mexico or maybe in the future Europe. I hope to come to Europe. I've been asked to come to Poland. I've been ased to come to Italy. It just hasn't lined up yet. But when it does, I'm more than willing to travel and come to your land.
Your most favorite language.
Yeah, my favorite language, German. So. I don't judge.
Yeah, I mean, I think Europe is cool because it's like so different. Like each place you go, like Poland is such a different country from, I don't know, Germany, and it's like so close, everything. Right. So I think it's a lot of fun actually as well.
Yeah. You know, the thing about like my retreats, we do a lot of breathwork journeys, but I connect them with the land. You know, I take them out on a hike. And I blindfold them on the Red Rock Mountains of Sedona. I lay them down and then I drum and I rattle for about an hour while they're laying there slow breathing, not the power breathing. And then I verbally walk them back into the womb of the mother and then I verbally rebirth them. And for many, it's a very, very powerful moment to be rebirthed that way. And then we go spend time with the wolves. So there's a wolf sanctuary in Sedona. So we actually go sit inside with the wolves. We go see my friend Rahelio in Sedona, and we do a Native American sweat lodge. We also, everybody in my group sits in a circle and we all paint. So painting is part of the process as well. A lot of writing's going on, a lot of court. So we're very busy in those 5 days. There's a lot of stuff we pack in 5 days, you know. And so, but I'm excited. I'm building that. I think Bernie knows I'm building a retreat center. I'm working on the funding right now for Sedona, just for this work. It's not no outside modalities, just for activation breath work, just for vibration frequency technology. I'll have some special technology installed in the structure.
I think it's the first ever built retreat center just for breath work, isn't it?
It is. I don't have another one. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, amazing.
And then we'll go build one in Europe.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah,
the world needs it.
It really does.
It is true. Yeah. The world needs it.
Yeah.
There's like the results are just so incredible. And I mean, I've seen a lot of breathwork around and I know how high your quality is. And I would say it's the best I've ever seen, to be honest. And I've been to some.
Yeah.
And
you ain't seen nothing. Yeah. What did I get you for 11 days?
Yeah.
We're gonna breathe.
I'm coming back a new person.
We're gonna breathe 4 times on the first full day.
Really?
We're gonna breathe a breath work through earth, a breath work that's designed and the playlist created for fire, then a breath work that's designed and created for air, for water, and then a breath work that's designed for air.
Okay, so you're really gonna blow us up.
Brody's face, it's like
what the fuck?
I sign up for. I wanted to breathe a bit.
That's day one. Yeah, they're all going to be trained and at the end, in the last 3 days, they've all got to facilitate their own journey. So they all have to create the container. They have to build the container. They have to create their own playlist with me sitting there next to them, listening in to see if that's a root chakra song, if that's a sacral chakra song, you know, it's like, yeah, so that works. And so they create their own playlist and then they have to facilitate the journey, walk them in, get them going, move the energy on them because the energy movement's a huge part. Because once we do the basic movements and we're moving energy through the feet, activating the root chakra, then the sacral and the fire, solar plex, fire and water, then we're up in the heart chakra, moving energy on the temples, you know, for the third eye, getting them to scream for the throat chakra, and then having them come up and out. I do a little cranial sacral. But in between that, once that's kind of done, in between that, your intuition kicks in. And there's, I can put people's feet on my chest and move, be pushing their knees with their breath into their ears. I can put them in full back bends. Depending on what the person is doing, if they're bent over, I could get over and push them all the way down and put my chest on their lower back above their bottom and put my hands on them and move. And then I actually become them. I breathe with them and I'm pushing my heart into them the whole time. So there's a lot of energy movement that goes on. And when we're moving energy in the sacral area, I do it in like a swimming movement. But then sometimes I hit it really hard and they'll scream. And if I'm in the solar plexus, especially, that's normally where I can get people to open their throat chakra when they blow their breath out. And I push on right above, below the rib cage and I move that energy up. Ah, or sometimes they'll be, some louder. I'm telling them louder, 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 louder. And I want them to, you know, and I'll hit it. And, and the big scream, that's a vibration.
I've never screamed as loud as that day.
It's a vibration. So frequency, we need to move that. We need to open up and activate that throat chakra that our parents told us to not use. Don't talk. You don't have a voice. It doesn't matter. Shut up. You know, who are you to have an opinion? You know, all of that stuff, you know. So we have to open that throat chakra so people can feel like they have a voice that matters.
So get ready, Germany. I'm coming back.
I'll have her ready for you. Guaranteed. Yeah.
Sarah, do you have another question?
I think we have. I have a lot of questions, but maybe for another time.
Yeah, we'll do part two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm so grateful you're on the podcast today.
Thank you.
For your story that you shared and all the wisdom that you shared. And
well, that's where the wisdom comes from, you know. It's the story. You know, my story is now my superpower. It's not a crutch. Now it's a superpower. Now it's something that I openly share. There's no energy behind it. I don't feel sad or anything about my childhood or my story. Now it's like, it's the glue that brings people to you. Yeah.
Yeah. You said it so nice. And I'm doing your course. Ocean has a course as well. You can buy online. And you said it so well that you don't tell your story anymore so that people
will
feel
love
pity
me.
For you, right. Love you.
Feel sorry
you
for
tell
me.
Your story so that people know you have been to places and you know what you're talking about, and to
exactly.
inspire other people.
Yeah. Well, like all that. Of my books that I write are all about hope and inspiration. You know, a day that you've lived where you didn't give hope to the hopeless or inspire the uninspired is kind of a wasted day. So find a way to help people, find a way to lift people up and be of service. That's where true happiness comes from for me.
Yeah.
You know, I've had all the money. I don't go buy expensive cars. I don't do any of that stuff when I have money these days. I just pour it back into this work. That's it.
If you could tell our listeners one thing, what would it be?
Breathe.
Breathe.
In the middle of the day, when you realize you got up in the morning, I encourage people to take a pause in the morning before you start. You know, most people roll out of bed and they start their day immediately. They've got a list and they've got things they got to do. Take 5 minutes. Take 5 minutes and center yourself and ground yourself before you even go in and see your kids that are going to just be all over you, right? Just mothers, you know, single mothers, a lot of single mothers in the world. And just have that moment for yourself where you just bring yourself into balance, feel your anxiety that may already be there when you wake up as the thoughts of the day come through, and just ground yourself and just, and then get outside as much as you can. You know, get outside in nature. Nature will protect you. It will not infect you. So go outside and get by a tree, get by water, you know, take a walk, take your shoes off and ground your feet into Mother Earth. You know, it's important stuff. Yeah. I guess that's what I would say.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much for your, for your honesty and for your wisdom. And
yeah. And I'm so happy to be on the future. I'm so excited to be on the future number one podcast of Germany.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm so excited.
Yes.
You guys are going to kill it. I'm so excited for you guys.
I love that spirit.
Some people call it podcast number one, but I think it's the number one podcast in English.
maybe you want to record our next jingle.
Oh, yeah. I'll sing a jingle for you guys.
Yay!
Like that raspy voice of mine.
When we do like an international version.
International version. I'll sing a country song for you guys. Yeah. I tiptoed in the room. I know you got to have your rest. She says, come lay beside me. I've been waiting since you left. Okay, there you go.
I'm never fast enough for this. Great.
Good.
Good. That was a good ending. Bleibt nur noch zu sagen.
Es gibt keinen Ersatz für Glitzer.